comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the show. I hope that you are delighted to be here. I certainly am delighted to be here, and I want you to know that I realize you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be right here, right now, and I appreciate that. The Alternative Universe Eye Conference is coming up. It will happen on May the 19th. Now, this is the third one we've done, and each time before, both times before, after the conference, we had people sending us email saying, both me and Walter Bosley helps me with this, and so we've gotten email from people saying, man, I've heard so many great things about the conference, and I wish I had bought a ticket to be there. Well, don't be a wisher, be a watcher, and you do that by getting over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see a link that's about 4 feet high that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. It's not 4 feet high, of course, but it's gigantic. It goes from one side of the page to the other side of the page. And just click that and get your ticket. It's only $10. And then you get to be in on this conference, and it's going to be a whiz-bang conference, I guarantee you. I've taken a look at what the speakers are going to be presenting, and it's fantastic stuff. You want to be sure you get your ticket. But let me tell you, pardon me, I say it's going to happen on the 19th, and people think, well, that's a long time away. It's not. It is not. Today is the 10th. You have 8 days left to get your ticket. That's all. Because we have to close the ticket sales on the 18th. So be sure you get over there and get your ticket. All right? Also, let me remind you that we have a free weekly newsletter. The free weekly newsletter is called The K-Files. And it's truly free. It's also truly a good publication because, I mean, the reason I say that, we have people who have been with us since we started the publication in 2000. Tomorrow is the anniversary of this show. That means for 12 years, we've got subscribers that for 12 years have been getting the K-Files. It must be pretty good. If it weren't, they wouldn't stay with us. Now, you need to be one of our subscribers. And the way you do that, go to my website, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You're going to get an email back that has a link in it for you to activate your subscription to confirm that it really was you that did this. And then you'll start getting the K-Files. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. All right? Be sure that you click that link and subscribe. Now, if you've got one of those email addresses where people try to send you email and they get a reply back that says, oh, sorry, but you have to click this link in order to prevent spam. Look, if your email address does that, our system can't click your link. All right? No system can. So you need to get a email address that doesn't have that, or you need to somehow get us through that. All right. We're going to step away for break, and we'll be back in just a moment. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we've got some pretty interesting stuff we're going to be talking about here tonight. Now, you know, last night we talked about Terra Anomalies. And I've gotten a lot of good response from that show. I've gotten a lot of email from people saying they really enjoyed that show. And so we may do something like that again in the future. But the thing about it is we saw things right here on this planet that we cannot explain. Mysteries that are happening right here on Terra Firma. Well, the mind is one of the great mysteries of the universe. It's also one of the greatest powers in the universe. Learning to use it, to focus it, to direct it, is something that can open entire new possibilities and new experiences and even new abilities. My guest tonight is very involved with just that. Jeff Harvey, well known for remote viewing, joins us to talk about the enhancement and control of our own minds. But did you ever wonder why would anybody even get involved in that? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to ask him why he got involved in that. He's been my guest before. It's a privilege to have him back with us. Jeff, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
My pleasure, Kevin.
Jeff, let's just start off with that. You know, you are ex-military. You've been involved in remote viewing. You've been involved also in the world and field of good nutrition to make people healthier. How and why did you get involved with all this stuff about the mind?
It's a normal outgrowth of what I did when I was young. I played with my brain a lot when I was younger. And I think I relayed this to you before. When I was a kid, I used to be out by the ash tree out in the front yard, and I'd have my little Tonka trucks, and I'd be playing in the sand. Well, these toys that I play with are no different than that Tonka truck. They just have a little more interesting controls, and they do a little more. I like to play with my brain, and I always have, and the results I get encourage me to do more. So it's just natural.
So it really is just something you do because you thought it was fun.
Partly, and the other part is when I was in military intelligence and all those fun games that were going on in there make me not want to be the guy with the least powerful weapon.
Okay, so you part of it is self-defense then.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's talk about this, and I know that it you know, eventually we're going to talk about you using this to do some research on the vortex or vortexes in Sedona. Those of you in the UK are wondering why I said vortexes when it's actually vortices, and that's because most Americans don't know that. It always amazes me the language, because I hear people say prophesize when in fact the word is prophesy. And I see it on television, and I hear people on television in documentaries talking about he prophesized this. And it's prophesy. But folks in the UK will have to forgive us. We don't speak English here. We speak a bastardization of it. And we do the best we can. Well, no, we don't. But anyway, that's what we speak. So let's talk about what it is that you're doing, and then you know, that it will lead us to this research into the Sedona vortices.
All right. And by the way, with regards to the language, if anybody has read your book, Gods in the Garden, they'll understand just how poorly most people understand the language. He did a fabulous job on it, and anyone who reads that book can't have any doubt that not only are we not alone in the universe, but our history, as it's been written, is far, far, far from the truth. But as far as these devices go, it's basically, if you think about this, let's say, well, I'll tell you what I wanted to do years ago. I wanted to build a mind-thought amplifier. Okay. Mind being outside the body, thought being inside, maybe. And I wanted to be able to amplify my thoughts, because when I was a child, I was able to have an effect on my surroundings using my mind. Now, not like some great Swami or somebody who's really adept at it, but, you know, on a rudimentary level. So I thought, as I got older, I want a thought amplifier to get some strength behind what I'm doing with it. And I kept looking for devices, and I thought, well, maybe I'll design one day. And then along comes this Austrian fellow who's probably got one of the kindest hearts of any man you'll ever meet. And he's just an amazingly intuitive guy. And he's the guy behind the Carl Wells radionics devices I use. And he found a way not to necessarily amplify thought, but to take thought and put it on a carrier wave and actually take it to whatever your target is, so that you can have an effect at great distances, more so, or not more so, but for a longer period of time than you normally would if you were just to focus on it intently. So that's what I use as one of my tools. The other main tool is the Shiva Neural Stimulation System.
Okay, so what is the Shiva Neural Stimulation System?
Right, if you go to my website, www.jefftech.net, and up at the top there's a menu on Brain Mind. Scroll down to the Shiva Shakti Overview, and there's a 64-coil device and a 16-coil device. And if you take a look at those are the devices we use. And there are a series of coils. The 16 is just a band that goes around your forehead like this. And then you're going to see, it goes just above your eyebrows, for those who are looking at this on camera. But it's a Velcro strap that goes just above your eyebrows, all the way around your head, all the way to the back. And around it, at strategic locations, there are Velcro pads with magnetic solenoids on them that basically will put, those little coils will put a gentle magnetic stimulation into the brain to allow the brain to do things it doesn't normally do, like out-of-body experiences and astral projection, consciousness projection, things of that nature that allow you to get into the experience levels that most people don't experience normally, or takes a little bit of training to learn how to do without these devices. So the 64-coil unit is a little different. It's got 64 coils, obviously, instead of 16, but it's a football helmet that goes over the head, and there are rows of coils starting at the top of the head and going down in 8 separate directions. And what happens is these coils put out the same type of magnetic signal, but you get a much more full field experience because it saturates the brain a little bit better than 16 coils do. Having said that, the 16 coil and the 64 coil get very similar results. The only difference is that the 64 coil does a better job of saturating the cranial cavity with those gentle magnetic signals. And what they do is they unhinge the left and right hemispheres, because there's a wave that travels from the front of the brain all the way across from left to right, and it's just like a line, and it spreads back over the top of the head connecting both hemispheres, and it's called the binding wave. And if you slightly perturb that wave from what it normally is, you can now, the way to phrase it is, you can unhinge both parts so that they're not acting together in the same fashion, so that certain experiences are more likely to happen.
Okay, first of all, what's the actual benefit of using this? And secondly, isn't it dangerous to be putting magnetic waves into your brain?
Well, you're doing it right now. You're sitting in your studio and you're saturated with magnetic signals.
Okay, we'll come to that. Let's go to the first question. What's the benefit?
The benefit's the beautiful part. And I'll relate this in two separate ways. We talked about three separate things: astral projection, out-of-body experiences, and consciousness projection. Three of my favorite tools on the planet. Now, to be able to do that, let's just take a sample. There was a Swedish film team that flew in out of Sweden this week to interview me because of the Shiva system. And we went over all the benefits, and they said, well, Jeff, how do you know it's not a placebo effect that you're getting? How do you know that you're getting these experiences and seeing this and it's not a hallucination? And the truth of the matter is that many experiences are nothing more than just hallucinations or your brain traveling into realms that are not reality here, and you have dreams and experiences that are not grounded here in reality. Having said that, there are others that are. And we'll take, for example, a case where a woman was in a hospital, and there's hundreds of these written up in the near-death experience books. Woman was in the hospital, laying on the operating table. She died. She started floating above her body and just rose up to the ceiling and right through the ceiling and above the roof. And there she was up there wondering what in the hell happened. And she looked down and there was a red sneaker on the roof. And all of a sudden, they must have paddled her with the defib paddles. And she plummeted back down into her body, and then she woke up and looked around and they said, what happened? And she said, I was up on the roof and there was this red sneaker up there. You know, they laughed and wrote it off, and they said, well, don't worry, it's probably an effect of anesthesia. It's got nothing to do with reality or body. So just on the off chance that there was something going on, somebody in maintenance went up there and looked on the roof, and there was a red sneaker. Now, you could say that she decided to throw a sneaker up there before she went into the surgery, then died on the table, and then came up with the story. Well, that doesn't hold water. You and I both know that, and there's hundreds of other stories like that. So you can unhinge the mind at specific times and be able to see what's going on in reality around you while you're outside of your body. Well, there's many people out there, myself included, that enjoy that experience. And we'd like to have as many of those as we could. Because if you were to think of it from being what I was, an intel operative, and you enjoy doing infiltration and work of that nature, you can see quickly that that would be quite the little tool for getting work done.
Okay, so we'll come back to some of these benefits here in just a moment, but let's talk about the possible dangers of directing these magnetic waves into the brain. Now, it is true that 24 hours a day we are saturated with radio signals of various frequencies, and we're not even aware of that. And I personally think it's probably not healthy for us, but we're being saturated with radio signals from all over the world and from all over the universe all the time. But whenever you put it right here on your head and you direct it right into your brain, isn't that a little bit dangerous? I mean, there's x-rays around us all the time. X-ray frequency is around us all the time. But it's when you direct it into the body that it becomes dangerous.
All right, let's talk about danger and doing what we do. First of all, the signals that we use are not dangerous. They're weak magnetic signals, extraordinarily weak, in fact. And all they are is mimics of the signals that our brain puts out normally. These aren't just a random magnetic signal that we're injecting into the brain. We're taking signals like the binding wave that travels from front to back across both hemispheres. We're taking the amygdala signal, the hippocampal signal, other signals that are already in the brain, and we're just simply putting them back in at certain times to mimic what they've learned in the lab about what kind of signals the brain puts out when you're in an experience of that nature naturally. So that's one of the things that they've learned to do, is how to actually start generating these experiences by mimicking the same signals that the brain normally uses. So it's no more dangerous than falling asleep at night. Now, having said that, if you're looking at EMF or other types of signals, electromagnetic force or electromotive force or Earth's magnetic fields, from the time you come out of your mother's womb, from the birth canal, and before, you were bathed in the Earth's magnetic field. And as you're born, your DNA is coded to be able to handle that level of background radiation and that level of magnetic field stimulation that was present at the time you were conceived, through the time you went through the womb, and the time you came out. And the very second that you came out, whatever planets are aligned at that second you exit the birth canal is what determines the lifelong effect on you. And as you know, in astrology, they base a lot of that on that because they've learned that certain alignments cause certain types of traits in certain individuals. It's not hard-coded so that there's no change, but it's a generalization that applies quite well to a majority of the population. So yes, you're bathed in this all the time. Our problem with stimulation comes when you have 45 nuclear reactors in the United States leaking tritium like we do right now. Your Fukushima disaster, which is literally just dumping gobs of radiation all over the planet. The DNA cannot catch up that quick. So even though you came out of the birth canal at the time when all this was going on, your DNA was not able to totally cope with it. It takes a couple of generations for that to occur. And the gene pool to change, the chromosomes to change, the genetic code to change, so that it can adapt to it. And we do adapt quite well, but it takes a generation or two. But when you're generating weak magnetic signals up there that are a complement to what's going on in the brain naturally, you're in fine shape.
Okay, so the cautions that we've heard about, for instance, use of cell phones would simply not apply in this case. And I would assume that's because we are using different signals with this Shiva device. And so I guess the frequency and the strength of the signals is the key. We have to step away for a break, and we will be back in just 2 or 3 minutes to continue talking about using these devices and also how you can do some of this without devices to train the brain. We'll be back right after this.
America, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
It works better when you push the right button. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jeff Harvey. We're talking about some pretty high-level stuff for some people. I mean, there are people that would say it's not high-level, and there are people that would say it is. For most of us, I think it is pretty high-level stuff in learning to train the brain and direct the mind, focus the power of the mind, It's, you know, I think, Jeff, there are people probably saying, okay, well, that's interesting, so how does that help me? It's fun for Jeff. He does it because it's fun and because he doesn't want to be defenseless against people that perhaps you used to work around, and they have the abilities So, but, you know, what about me? What about Joe Citizen out here? How is this helpful to just the average individual?
I think a lot depends on what your goals in life are. Let's say you're just the average person and you have a curiosity about these things. Well, there are many exercises you can use that don't require these devices to do similar things with. And there are books that will teach you out-of-body projection. Robert Monroe, he was big in the Monroe Institute, did a lot of work in that. Robert Bruce, one of my early people I studied, and William Buhlmann, B-U-H-L-M-A-N-N. They all wrote books on how to tune up your body physically with not a dime spent to actually charge your body up and get it to start activating these pathways without doing a whole lot of work. There are techniques you can use, and I can teach you one very quickly if you'd like, that will help tune up the energy centers in the body so that you can start having these and getting your dream cycles much richer.
Okay, we'll do that in a moment. But first, I'm still curious, so why would I want to?
Okay, let's take a couple of examples. Let's say, are you talking about, what would you like to do? Look at the benefits of astral projection?
Well, in general, the benefits of monkeying around with our mind and tuning it up so that it can do these various things. Just in general, what's the benefit?
All right, let's take you as an international police officer.
All right.
When you are doing that kind of work, your biggest benefit out in the field wasn't that weapon at your side. And the one down in your leg. Your biggest benefit was to be able to have your senses working at such a high level, you sensed danger long before you got in it. Am I correct or
am
I wrong?
Absolutely true.
All right, now,
let me say, that would be true not just for international police, but that's true for anybody that's working in police work at any level.
Or intelligence.
Yeah.
If you're an operative and you're infiltrating an organization, whether it be a Fortune 100 like I used to do, or whatever it was, you need to sense when something is going on. Well, if you're Joe Sixpack sitting on the couch and eating potato chips and drinking beer and not taking care of your body, your senses are operating on such a low level that it's very rare if you notice anything other than stubbing your toe. Whereas if you're somebody who once in a while does that, but most of the time takes care of what they put into their body and tunes up their nervous system, you sense when people are lying to you much faster. You notice the frequency changes in their voice, so you know when they're bullshitting you or they don't believe what they're saying either.
What's the language? We're on AM and FM stations, and the FCC does apply.
Oh, please forgive me. I get a little carried away.
I forgive you if they do. If they don't, it's $350,000.
Understood. All right, so let's take a look at this. If you're trying to do this work and you tune yourself up, now when you're talking to your spouse and your spouse might not be as honest and forthcoming with information as you would like, you'll sense that and you'll know. You're working with your coworkers, and you're working on a project, and you are relying on someone to give you accurate information so that when you go into a meeting, you can actually make sure you make a good showing of it, and your data is rock solid. You can sense, and you'll be able to hear in the frequencies in the voice what's going on, and you'll know exactly when you need to query them further and make sure that they're not telling you something that's not something they believe is truthful. So those are just minor benefits. Now let's say we go to an advanced level where you get really good at this. You're doing this for months. You've got your system tuned up. You've detoxed your body, and it's working very well. And you're not just relying on your ability to hear, but you're relying on your intuition to actually guide you into what steps to take next. And then you learn, perhaps, astral projection, where you can literally project your consciousness to another location where you can actually remote view through an astral projection what's going on the scene. And much of that has been done in labs all around the world. James Hart, the Monroe Institute, many of them, they do this work all the time. So if you can do that as the average person, imagine the benefits you have of not walking into booby traps in life.
Is this something that just anybody can do?
Absolutely, just about anybody. I'll tell you who cannot do it well. People who do not have their nervous systems functioning well. And let's take a couple examples of that. Let's say somebody who has been eating poorly their whole life, and not poorly because they can't afford it. I mean poorly because they simply don't know what to put in their bodies, and they just eat fast food all the time. Well, those things will clog up the pores, it will clog up the arteries and capillaries. So you won't get the blood and oxygen flow you normally would to the various sections of the body. You will not create the myelin sheath around the nerve endings, which helps insulate them, and so they won't fire appropriately and talk to the various glands or organs in the brain. So if you're somebody like that, they have trouble using these skills because their systems don't work properly. Now let's go to the other side of the spectrum. Let's say you're a chiropractor or a yoga instructor or a nutritionist or someone who, as a matter of habit, has to pay specific attention to their diet and what they put in and how they do it. And of course, they go out and have a pizza once in a while, they have a beer or two here and there, but for the most part, they eat quite well and they eat things that stimulate their nerve endings to work very well. These are the kind of people that just going through daily life have experiences like this without even trying, because that's a natural part of who we are.
Okay. So, would you say that the average person, well, I hate to use the word average person, but on average, would people be in shape enough to start doing what you're suggesting?
I would say about 60 to 70% of the population has some level of experiences that are anomalous cognition, is what we call it. Something that's an anomaly or out of the ordinary. Cognition,
okay,
meaning something like this.
Would that be the type of thing that we normally refer to as paranormal?
Yes, yes. A lot of people refer to it as paranormal. Some people refer to it as metaphysical, but there's nothing metaphysic about it. This is what our physical bodies are capable of doing in conjunction with our spiritual or energetic bodies, and most people don't even accept that premise, but yet they have these experiences all the time. When you were doing the work you were doing, you would get a gut hunch. That's your intuition working with your mind, which uses your nervous system to go out and capture the data. And so many people have these experiences on a low level, and the cleaner their systems are, the higher the level they have it. So I'd say 60 to 70% are more than capable of doing it.
All right, so that leads to, I guess, an obvious question, and that is, we have all heard about scientists recently, fairly recently, being able to put a little headgear on you and turn a few dials and cause you to have an alien abduction experience, which you swear is real, and yet they have video running the whole time and you're right there. How do you explain that?
There's several ways. And first of all, who says you didn't have that experience? If you look at that person lying on the table all hooked up to the gear, you're looking at their physical husk. You and I both know that you're a lot more than that physical husk. When you go into the sleep state or the theta state or any one of the different levels that allow you to unhinge part of your psyche, all right, I'm going to give you an example, so follow me with this. All right, when you're in a dream state, and you and I have talked about this, but for people who dream, and you're in a dream, and you're in the kitchen, somebody's cooking, you smell what's going on, you're thinking, you're talking with them, while you're in the dream state, that person that's in the dream state, wherever that is, whether it be another dimension, whether it be another part of the universe, or a copy or a mirror universe, or whether it's just a hallucination in your mind, you're consciously thinking in that body, and you know for a fact it's not your physical body, it is an etheric body of some kind. Am I correct?
Yes.
So you're thinking while you're not in the physical body reacting to somebody in the room, you're in the kitchen in a house from 10 years ago talking to someone at the kitchen stove and smelling the food cooking, hearing the sounds, the snap, crackle, pop in the pan.
No, we're hearing the sounds of your hands pounding the desk, too.
Oh, sorry about that. I do get a little excited in these topics.
Yeah, it's coming across on your mic very, very well. Okay, so whenever we dream, what you're saying is that although the body is still laying where it was when you went to sleep, that the dream is as real as if we were awake having the experience. Is that what you're saying?
Right, but what I'm really saying is that your consciousness is functioning in another location as if you were physically there in the location. So in some experiences, like the woman lying on the table that died on the operating table, her consciousness left her body and she floated up above the ceiling and past the roof in that physical reality and saw something physically that was there in this dimension at that time. In the dream state we're talking about, you were somewhere else, but still in a body with a consciousness. Are we in agreement?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I told you, I can remember back when I used to dream. I don't dream now, and this is not something, folks, that happened recently. I haven't dreamt in decades. But when I used to dream, I can remember carrying on a conversation with someone as though we were bosom buddies, and in that dream I knew them, and yet I was capable of backing up mentally and saying, who is this? I don't know this person. Alright, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I have to get the hang of this. We're doing, you don't know this, we're doing something a little different tonight, and doing it a little bit different method than what we've used before. So I got to get the hang of it. I'm an old guy. It takes me a while to learn which order to push these buttons in. It is a little bit different. But for those of you who are watching our TV channel, you've noticed a much improved video, and that's part of it. Okay, so hang in there with me. This old dog will learn the new tricks. Jeff, we're talking about the dream state, and I mentioned that I can remember I used to dream about having a conversation with someone that in the dream I fully knew, and then I would step back and say, wait a minute, who is this? But at the time, there was just sort of a recognition that I knew that person. But then I was conscious in the dream. I became conscious in the dream that I don't know this person. Who is this? What's that all about?
Well, there's a couple of theories on it. First of all, we're going to answer that in two ways. first of all, as you know, you can have hallucinations in the mind, obviously, and so they're fabrications. The question is, are the hallucinations actual just fabrications of the mind, or did the mind actually choose to launch a second consciousness outside of the body through the mind to another location, an alternate universe, an alternate dimension, where your world was similar and you knew these people from past dream states from childhood or later that you don't remember the dreams in, but you had a familiarity level, almost as if you've known them for a long time, but yet when you look at them, you're going like, wait a second, they're familiar, I should know them, I've got a relationship with them, but I don't remember the past history. So it's either a fabrication of the mind, or you are literally launched in an astral body on a different plane or dimension or reality that's just similar to the one you're actually physically in your body, which is the husk that you're sleeping in, or it could literally be that we have the capability of doing this all the time and just don't remember it. I would suggest, and this is my theory, that if you are familiar with someone in that dream state, but yet you don't know them, it could very well be that we live on multiple dimensions simultaneously, and we just don't bring that download from the other dimension, plane, or reality with us into our conscious mind in daily life.
Isn't there a danger, the more experiences like that that you have, isn't there a danger of getting so mixed up in the waking world in which we have to live that basically you could be said to be insane?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not a danger. It's when you actually, and I'm going to first of all tell you that I would far prefer to be in the other realities that I travel to in these states than I would in this particular one. So having said that, what am I doing here? Well, in this particular reality, I believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I believe it allows me, and I know you have a little trouble with the word believe, and so do I, but I believe it allows me to travel to these other locales. And that's why when you saw in the movie Inception, did you see that?
Yeah.
All right. If you remember down in that underground or in the building in the lower level, they had all those people on tables dreaming together. Mm. And the fellow said, they prefer to be here. That's not reality out there in the real world. This is to them. Well, they prefer it because in those states, you don't have the limits of body that you do here. In the movie Inception, and I did this as a child, the movie Inception is old news. They did it with drugs in the movie, but you can do this in reality with no drugs at all, down in deeper and deeper dream states. So it literally is more interesting in that regard because you change reality yourself inside the dream state. You can make a wall warp, you can put your hand out and have an apple appear in it, whatever you want to do, because the laws of physics don't apply in that reality.
Yeah, but sooner or later you have to wake up. You wake up or the drugs wear off. If you were using that method, the electricity goes out. If you were using some device, sooner or later you're snapped back into this reality. And
right.
When you are, you have to deal with this reality. And there are real people and real events and real situations and circumstances and problems and obstacles. So is there not the possibility that you could become unable to cope with this reality?
There's that possibility, but what you're talking about is someone who is not mature. If you have an individual that does not have a mature mind and they can't separate fantasy from reality, or they can't realize that no matter how great the dream state is, you are still stuck and trapped here in this husk, in this reality, and you need to deal with it, then you simply haven't matured. I know a lot of people in the alternative health field that are in belief that we create this reality, and we may very well, But the bottom, and they say, well, don't worry about the Fukushima radiation. With the law of attraction, you can solve that problem. And you know what I tell them? I say, you're full of it. Because the bottom line is, if that radiation hits your body, it's going to have a physical effect, whether you will it to or not. And so, it's just like the person that pulls out a gun in the middle of a dark alley and fires a bullet at you. If you believe you can use the law of attraction to deflect that bullet, all the more power to you. But you'll still be dead in the morgue in the morning.
No, absolutely.
So, it's maturity level that allows you to deal with the nonsense that's in this particular reality. And then when you do go into the dream state, no matter how great it is and how much you enjoyed it, you have to wake up and deal with this to be able to go through life and through the trials you have.
Most indigenous people around the world, not just in the United States, but most indigenous people around the world have as a part of their tradition, their belief, their culture, that what we see in dreams is as real as what we see when we're awake. Now, I suspect that each individual indigenous person has his own level of attachment to that tradition. Some may think that's absolutely true, and some may be like at 50% and some at 40% and so forth. But it is in the tradition, and it makes me wonder, you know, one of the great paranormal things in history are people who do something that I talked about earlier, prophesy. Not prophesize, but prophesy. And, you know, are they in a dream state when this happens?
Well, you and I have discussed this on a different level when we talk about remote viewing the future. They're doing nothing more than remote viewing the future. Your mind being outside of the body, and I'm not sure anybody knows how to prove that yet, but that's what I think is the case, and that's what many researchers think is the case. But it's able to take your nervous system, use it as an antenna, and go out to the field of information, past, present, and future, and pull in data in that your psyche, on a subconscious level, wants to bring in and show to you. Now, there's a lot of debate about the subconscious versus the conscious, but let's just take this as a theory.
Okay, we have 1 minute till break. Go ahead.
All right, so if you can go out and pull that information in, and you can bring that in and bubble it up through your conscious processing as an idea, you actually just pulled something that's in the future going to happen, and you can actually see it now today. So is that real or not?
Good question. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, folks, we're talking this evening with Jeff Harvey. We're talking about some pretty deep stuff here, and it is very, very related to the world of the paranormal. When we come back, we're going to ask Jeff to tell us this exercise to tune up our minds. He talked about that, and we'll get him to sort of guide us through that. And so you want to be sure and stay tuned and see what he's got to say. I'm interested in seeing and hearing what he's got to say as well. Let me remind you, before we step away for break, you've only got 8 days. 8 days left to get your ticket for the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Be sure you get your ticket tonight. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Harvey, and we'll return to Jeff Harvey in just a moment. But I want to remind you again get your tickets to the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. It's $10. Get to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see a gigantic link that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Click that and get your ticket so that you will be able to attend this conference. Now, you don't have to go anywhere to attend it except over you go over to your computer screen, because this conference is streamed directly to those of you who have tickets. And so you get to attend the conference. It's live. It's not pre-recorded. It's live. And there's a question and answer period after each presenter, just as if you were in a conference hall. But you don't have any of the travel expenses, none of the hotel expenses, extra meal expenses, you know, at restaurants, taxi or parking or any of those expenses. And the ticket is only $10, so be sure you get it. Jeff, before we move to those exercises, during the break, I thought of a question that I want to ask you based on something you said about the possibility that we are, you know, in visiting another timeline, another lifeline that we occupy unconsciously. Is it possible that the paranormal experiences happen to people who are awake, and there's other people around them that don't even think paranormal stuff is real, and they see it, they experience it? So is it possible that when we make that visit to another timeline, or not another lifeline, I guess, is it possible we're showing up there as a paranormal experience in that world? For those people, they are seeing a paranormal experience?
Oh, boy, you know how to get there, don't you?
I try.
Boy, no, you succeed. That, I have never been asked that question, and it's incredible. I would even have to think about that for a little bit, because that's so deep, it's next to ridiculously deep. If you think about that, that's a fabulous thought. What if there is another dimension out there with real people in it, and you show up there, and you're actually a paranormal experience for them? That would say to you that both dimensions, universes, timelines, whatever you want to call it, are absolutely real, but yet they are linked somehow. So for you to show up as a paranormal experience for them, and you are actually over there and experiencing it in that astral body or whatever you want to call it, it's real for you at the time, but you are not in your physical husk. You're out there in a different body, whether it be an energy body, astral body, or whatever. But when you look down at your body, there's the body sitting there. So it looks like you're real. So for them, if you look like you're real, they would almost have to be in a dream state like that, or in a meditation, or an astral projection themselves. Otherwise, you would show up as perhaps what most people call a ghost or an electromagnetic phenomenon.
But maybe we do.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know the answer to that question.
You know, while I'm carrying on a conversation in this dream state with someone in this other dimension, this person would obviously have to be in a similar state for us to have been able to carry on this conversation. However, other people in his world may be seeing me as an orb, or they may be seeing me as a ghost.
Yeah, and that's something that would take a lot of different experiments to prove out which way it is. And you could probably prove it with enough experiments. The hard part is being able to launch to that same place so you can do enough experiments to prove it out. And that seems to be the difficulty of our minds always being in motion, whether we're conscious or unconscious. So when you're unconscious and you went into, let's say, the kitchen, and that person is familiar to you, but you don't recognize their face, you've got a couple of choices here. you either, in another dream state, at another time early in life, had relationships with this person and built a relationship over time with them so that they felt familiar, or it could be somebody who, let's take for instance, let's say for a moment that reincarnation is absolutely real, which I believe it may be. I don't have enough proof on it. But let's say it's real. And you're talking to your cousin, but your cousin looks like somebody you've never met before, but it feels like your cousin.
Yeah.
So what if that happens to be the energy of your cousin from 8 centuries ago and in that new body then, so you just feel familiar with them?
Well, we're talking about how to enhance our minds and how to focus our minds, and yet at every turn, it's a mind bender. It really is. All right, now you said that there was a quick exercise that you could take us through, and that would anybody in the audience could do what you're going to explain. Why don't you do that for us?
Sure, but I'm going to set it up first so you understand why we're going to do the exercise.
Okay.
You're familiar with chakras and what they are, correct?
Yes.
They're just energy centers in your body. You've got them from the very base of your spinal column all the way up to your head, several different ones. These are called major energy centers. Every joint in your hands, every joint in your toes, and other joints in your body have minor energy centers or portals that need to be tuned up properly in order for the major ones to fill properly with energy when you're in these states and trying to move energy through your body and have these experiences. So what you try to do is tune them up so that you don't wind up getting a blockage in one spot and can't get free flow of energy through while you're trying to have these experiences. So we have some very simple exercises to help start that process along so that when you do get into a dream state or you do meditation or you do remote viewing and you're trying to use that nervous system to its maximum advantage, you want those energy centers to be fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take your hand in front of your face and you put your hand out like this, and then you take the other hand and you take your finger. So you put your left hand out in front of your face with your palm down, your fingers spread apart gently. You take your finger from your other hand and you just go to the thumb, the first joint just back behind your thumbnail. And you draw a light semicircle in the counterclockwise direction around the joint. And you let go. You can feel the tingle. Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right. Now you go to the next finger. And the next finger. The next finger. Then down to the pinky. Do the same thing. Then you move down one joint down lower on the pinky. And then you do the next finger coming towards your thumb, and go all the way back to that joint on the thumb. Then you go down one more level to the last set of joints on the thumb and do it, and then go across all of those joints, all the way down to the pinky. Now, if you hold that hand out in front of your face, you notice the whole hand is tingling. Am I correct?
Slightly, yeah.
Just slightly. Now, if you do the same thing with the other hand, and you go through that process, and then you do the toes of each foot, and then you do your ankles, your knees, your hips, your elbows, and your shoulders, you will get the entire body starting to tingle. Now, what we do is we're basically teaching those energy portals to start filling up with energy evenly. And they have to be able to fill before the major chakra portals will charge up and start filling well. So if you do that exercise when you first go to bed, and what is it going to take you? 2.5 minutes, you're done. And then you do the feet, and you do that, and you do it in the morning, and then at night. First thing when you wake up, first thing when you go to bed. What will happen is, inside of a week, your dream states absolutely come alive because you're starting to ramp a lot of energy through those systems, and you're unplugging a lot of those particular portals that are clogged that block you from being able to move the energy through and use your nervous system to launch and do the things you need to. That's one exercise. The other one is you take your hand out, just like I said, put it in front of your face or in front of your body, palm down, and then you take the fingertips of your right hand and you just lightly drag them all the way across the top of the hand down to the fingertips and off. And then reverse hands and use your left hand over the right and just lightly drag it. And that will create that sensation of tingling, which is basically not just your energy moving through, but it's also the nervous system charging up and reacting to that sense. Now, if you hold those two hands out in front of your face like this, where you've got your palms facing each other like you're holding a basketball in your hand, so they're about a foot, a little bit, maybe a foot and a half apart, and you focus on the tingle in both of those palms, and then let's say you focus your mind on the left hand only, and then you look over at the left hand and you focus on it heavily, and then picture a ball being in your hand, and then you just take your mind and you shove that ball over to the other hand, and then you focus on the tingle in that hand alone. You can send that back and forth between each hand a couple of times, and you'll actually feel it stronger in the hand you're sending it over to. When you get it over there, then you run that up your hand to your elbow and bring it all the way up to your shoulder, all the way across your chest to the other shoulder, down to the elbow, and out to the other hand. When you do this over and over again for, let's say, the course of a week, you'll get to the point where you can run it down your legs, out the feet, back up the other foot, and all around your body at any time you want. And once you've done this for about a month, you'll get to the point where you can literally make a person's hair stand up as you reach your hand out to them. That's how much energy flow you can put through your body. And this tunes up your nervous system to be able to do these things much more rapidly and naturally. And it doesn't cost you a dime to practice.
Okay, and again, the benefit of doing this?
You get a couple of things happening. Your dream states start to become more vivid, more lively, and you start remembering dreams. Number two, let's say you want to do or learn out-of-body projection or astral projection or out-of-body experiences or consciousness projection. It will make it so that your body is much more able to do it more naturally. So let's say you do want to start using your body and your mind to do an astral projection so you can go out hunting around in this world without having your body to drag around. You can do those things by teaching your system to do it. If you read William Buhlman's books or the books by Robert Bruce, these are people who teach these exercises for decades. And I've studied them. They work. All you have to do is do it.
Okay. We want to open up the telephone lines just in case somebody in our audience would like to join the conversation. We certainly want you to have that opportunity to do that. And you do that by giving us a telephone call. The telephone call is easy to make. Here's the magic numbers. Are you ready? 623-444-5889. Now, if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call that number, or because international long distance is expensive, we have another option for you, an additional option, and that is called the flash message. So you can go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture, you'll see a link that says flash message. So you can send me your comment or your question via a flash message if you are outside of the USA and outside of Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone, all right? Now, you mentioned to me when we talked that there is somehow some connection, some way that you're going to be using this Shiva device to investigate or research the energy vortex is vortices at Sedona, Arizona. So what's that about? Tell us about that.
I heard Jerry Wills on your show, and I went to his website, expeditiontv.com, and I took a look at it. He's got a really good video on a couple of these portals, one in Peru, and obviously there's more information about the Arizona portal. And so I've been listening to your shows, and there's a neurologist friend of mine that wants to go to these portals with me. And we've been talking about doing this, and I said, you know what we should do? We should attempt to use the Shiva neural stimulation system and the radionics device together to actually target the portal remotely, similar to a remote viewing, but not quite the same, by using basically the pictures. I contacted Jerry, and he sent over a couple of pictures for me to use as target reference material. And you can use that in a remote viewing session, or you can use it in a radionics session.
Okay, so what is a radionics device? What's that all about?
Radionics device makes use of the energy you and I were just showing how to tune up and move through your body. That's actually a type of life energy or bioenergy you are moving between your hands. If you can shove that from one hand to the other with your mind, and you can move that through your body, you don't think you can't possibly send that to a rock or to your dog or to a horse or whatever you want? Of course you can. And people have known about this for over 1,000 years. They've used it in many esoteric teachings. All the mystery schools teach it. But the layman never get to learn about these things because it's guarded in the mystery schools. That's the reason why I teach a lot of this, is because I don't think it should be the purview of just a few selected quote-unquote adepts who think that they are the privileged ones. I think the average everyday person should be doing this all the time. So I want to use the radionics device, which allows me to take that energy, and it will let me focus it on a target, like that portal. But long after I stop focusing on the picture of that portal in my mind, that radionics device will keep carrying that energy towards the portal with my intention and my consciousness linked to it and the effect I want to have long after I've gone out to eat supper, I'm going to wash my car, I'm doing whatever I do. And that's the difference between just doing the operation in your head, because you can't keep in focus that picture for longer than a few seconds to a few minutes, or your mind will shift off of it, and it'll put the energy somewhere else. You've heard the old saying, beware what you think, because where your mind goes, so does your energy. You've heard that, right?
Sure.
So, it's true. What they're talking about is that orgone, or biofield energy, or life energy, or prana, or ode, or whatever you want to call it this week. It's the same thing. The generator in the radionics device, and they're not in all radionics devices, Carl Wells puts a generator in there that generates an orgone energy field that your mind can link to, and you can actually send it anywhere you want to go. So long after you've forgotten about the operation, that generator is still running. Sitting right next to me is a RAD 5 with 5 separate super high-powered engines. It's the second most powerful radionics device on the planet. And I've got 5 separate engines operating right now. And the only thing I've got it set to is to balance me out right now during the show. I obviously failed miserably earlier when I was beating the daylights out of my poor monitor while I was getting excited about the topic. But the balancing is what you use that to do. And it's not putting out frequency as you and I would know it. It takes frequency and it modulates the energy field so that the energy field is pulsing at that rate. And then that actually targets my body. I can target it anywhere I want, including you. And if I have a little bit of your DNA, like a pluck of your hair with a follicle in it, or a drop of blood, it will target your DNA directly.
All right, we have a flash message here from Paula in New Zealand. And she says, Jeff, thanks for being on the Kevin Smith Show. My question is, how can you be sure that all of this is real?
That's an interesting question, but I'm not sure she phrased it in a way that allows me to answer it properly, but I'm going to do my best.
Okay. Right?
When you say real, and you're saying all of this, I'm assuming that she's talking about if you have a dream state or if you're actually projecting. Alright, we had the example of the woman that was in the hospital bed on the operating table and died and rose through the ceiling, saw the red sneaker on the roof, came back down, and they told the story and they sent a maintenance man up and there was a red sneaker on the roof. Alright, that tells you that she was in this dimension, in this time, and saw that sneaker on the roof while she was out of her body. Remote viewers around the world and in military intelligence have been doing this for a couple of decades now. So it's not like it's new news. So Paula, go up to the web when you have some time and look up Operation Stargate and Operation Grill Flame. And you'll see the declassified information on the remote viewing projects where they did this every single day, all day, with whole teams doing this. Going to remote locations, going to current locations in this timeline, in this reality, doing particular operations to uncover plots against our country. So it's not like this is something that's fantasy. It's something that's real and has been done for several decades. Now, you're quite correct that there are situations where people, when they have a remote viewing projection, they go to somewhere else that's not in this reality. So is it a hallucination? Is it an alternate dimension or another timeline? I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that in those instances, it is not this particular reality where we physically are. So there's two answers to your question there.
Okay. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty. Rusty, we're within a minute of break, so I'm sure we're going to be interrupted. If that happens, you just hang on. We'll come back to you, okay?
All right.
All right, go ahead.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Rusty, go ahead and shoot.
So what you're talking about has nothing to do with belief, then?
No, these are facts, but it does have something to do with belief. It turns out that when you're doing radionics operations, if you believe they're going to work, your chances of success are far, far higher. If you believe they won't, or you doubt that they won't, your chances are lower.
Okay. Now, the way you talk about transferring that energy, now, I'm not lumping you with these characters, but it sounds almost like something a witch doctor or voodoo person would use to do something bad to somebody.
They do that. That's correct.
Okay, guys, we have a break taking over, so everybody just sit tight. We'll be back right after this.
Brian from Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Jeff Harvey about some really deep stuff, some weird stuff, I guess, from the perspective of many people. But it is all very connected to what we talk about all the time, which is paranormal and the world of the strange and unexplained. We have Rusty on the telephone with us from Michigan, I hope. Are you still there, Rusty?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Rusty's still with us. So, Rusty had said, this sounds like, when you were transferring the energy from one hand to the other, that this sounds like something that maybe a voodoo witch doctor would do. And let me throw this out. Let me ask you this question. Why not? I mean, the knowledge of this has been around since the doctors were witch doctors. So wouldn't that be the case, Jeff?
Well, I think what he's talking about is like with voodoo or Santeria, where they take some of your hair or DNA and they put it into a doll or an image, and they do a radionics operation using that to affect another person's body. And yes, that's absolutely the case. That's how they do it. That's how they accomplished it 1,000 years ago, and that's how they still do it today. If anybody thinks that that's not going on today, they really haven't looked around for more of the arcane information that's out there. It's happening all the time. Psychic attacks, things like that, they all go on every day. How good of a magician you are in working with these energies to be able to block those or to retaliate has a lot to do with your training. And that's one of the reasons why I do some of these things, is because having been where I was and doing what I did, I don't have just a couple of enemies, I have plenty of them. I also happen to have some pretty powerful friends. So it's not one of those things where if you enter into this, you enter into it lightly. You have to realize that the playing field is not just on this planet. It's in other dimensions. And there are times when, yes, you can wake up in the morning with bruises all over your body from having been in a battle somewhere else on a different plane, but yet it manifested physically. And if you want proof of that, all you have to do is look at many of the publications, and we're talking about from serious researchers and doctors that have done work with hypnosis, where you tell the subject that you're going to burn their arm with, say, a cigarette or something, and a welt forms on the skin without ever touching them. Your body will react to these subjections or suggestions in the subconscious level. So you can use it for good or you can use it for evil, just like any other thing that you have for a tool.
Can I get one more question in here, Kevin?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay. Jeff, let's say someone was crippled. Can this, I want to call it power or ability, be used to bring objects to themselves?
Can be used to, say that again, Rusty?
Used to bring objects to themselves, like a crippled person, you know, they can't move. Could they train their mind in order to do that?
Are you asking if you can do telekinesis where you use your mind to bring a coffee cup closer to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That is something I have not been able to prove but once in my life. And once, to me, is not enough for it to be useful. I have to be able to repeat it. I have a problem with standard Western methods of science where you have to do it 1,000 times for it to work. If it works once, I know it works. The question is can I get it to happen again? I was able to do that with a curtain one time and make it move. However, I've not been able to duplicate that particular type of telekinesis since then, but there are people that can do it, but they train their minds for many years. I spoke with the wife of a fellow who is an ex-intel op, and his wife, when she was young, her dad would make her sit in the living room and practice telekinesis for hours and hours on end. It was almost an abusive situation because he wouldn't let her do anything else until she did that. And the way it was done, if you want to practice this, Rusty, is you project your consciousness into the object and you move it while inside of the object consciously. And to do that, I'll give you a book that'll teach you a little bit about that. It's a fictional book written by Ingo Swann, and it's called Starfire. But it's got techniques in there that are actually real. So if you want to project your consciousness, just start playing with that. Do the tune-up procedures so you can move the energy better through your body so you can actually access part of your mind. And when you do the tune-up procedures, instead of just running it down through your hands and your legs, shove it up into the brain, get an anatomy picture of the different parts of the brain, and shove it into the amygdala, the hippocampus, and the caudate nucleus. energize those with the energy and do that over and over again. And there's also an amygdala tickling exercise where you push the energy from your amygdala out through the frontal lobes on your brain over and over again for several minutes, and you'll get a click or a pop where the energy just bursts through after a period of time, and it will open up centers of your brain you haven't used for years. Yeah, but it's fun and it's easy to do. You can do it just laying in bed in the morning or at night before you go to sleep. So it's not like it's hard.
All right, thanks.
Absolutely. You. 623-444-5889. For those who are watching, the number is on your screen. For those who are listening, if you forget what the number is, you can always go to my website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture, on the left side of the picture, is the telephone number. On the right side is the flash message link for those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada. One of the things that I have said many times on this show over the years is that what we call paranormal, we call it paranormal simply because we do not yet understand it. Now, what you're explaining to us here tonight really is, provided that everything you're telling us is accurate, then it really is an explanation for a whole lot of things that we've been calling paranormal. And basically, as I understand what you're saying, you're saying that we can pretty much turn this on and turn it off at will. Is that right?
And it is not para, and it is not meta. It is normal, and it is physical.
Have you
normal
seen
people can do this?
Normal people?
That's correct. So it is not paranormal, and it is not metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply what normal people should be able to do naturally.
How did we lose the knowledge and the capacity to do this?
The knowledge was lost when a lot of these mystery schools locked the information up so that only their priest class or magician class or magi class or adept class were able to get the knowledge and pass it on through their families to those who they wanted to learn it. They do not want the layman people to learn this.
Why?
So, well, if you can move energy with your mind and you can project your consciousness to another location, are there any secrets to be held?
No, but what benefit was there to keeping secrets, especially secrets like this? I mean, we're not talking about plans for a nuke here. We're talking about something that could enhance life. So what benefit is there in keeping secrets like this?
Boy. If you look at this way, all right, let's say you are the ruling class that rules this planet. Do you want your subjects to have the same level of power you do?
Well, I understand that. Yeah, they would not.
So, you would much rather keep the secrets for yourself so people can't have access to your secrets and know what you're doing behind closed doors that affects them. You don't want your subjects knowing what you're doing that's to their detriment. So if you can keep your secrets, then you're in pretty good shape because they don't know what's happening until it happens. Whereas if you can actually do these things, like the remote viewing teams did and still do to this day, they did not disband them all, then you would be able to ferret out all these secrets and you know it's coming before it comes. So, of course they want to hide this information. So that's the knowledge part. How did we lose the ability to do it? Is because if you don't practice things like this, it's just like any other muscle. If you don't work out every week, your muscles deteriorate and you become weaker. You can't lift the same amount of weight. You can't jump as high. You can't run as far and as fast. So you need to exercise all things on a regular basis. And the more you use these different things, the more the cognitron pathways form in the brain, and the more often you do it, the stronger they become, and the more vivid and strong these experiences are. That's probably the best way to phrase it.
Okay, so the way it all became secret, it's really basically an old world version of controlling the media.
Absolutely. There is no other reason for it.
So you're out here telling people how they can do this. You're not the only one. There are others that are talking about it. And what you are describing is a paradigm buster. If it catches on and people start really doing this, it's a paradigm buster. Aren't you in some danger?
Who cares?
A good answer.
Well, come on. If you get up in the morning and you decide you're going to do something, and you and I both have the same attitude towards this, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to do this. If they whack me, they whack me. If they don't, they don't. It doesn't make a hill of beans difference. You just do what you want to do in this lifetime, or do you want to go to the grave regretting not doing something? I sure don't.
Well, I fully agree with that. I totally agree with that. I do think that people like you who are teaching how to basically unlock some of these, what we've called mysteries, and how to work with them, I do think that you are probably someone that is watched very carefully. And possibly someone that's going to get a free, all-expense-paid trip to Guantanamo. under the new NDAA here in the land of the free.
I'm not too concerned about it. When that day comes, we won't go into what happens, but I'm not concerned about that.
Well, that's a good answer. I think all of us really need to get to the point where, you know, we can just say no. Nancy Reagan had it right. She applied that to drugs. But you just apply it to all jackboots on your throat. No. I'm just not going to knuckle under. And I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to be free. And you do it till you don't. You do it till you
can. Exactly.
Yeah.
You've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we have to step away for a break, and we will be back, folks, right after this, so hang in there. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. Only a few minutes left. And then we bring this one in for a landing. We're talking with Jeff Harvey this evening. And we're talking about really some of the deeper things having to do with the mind as related to paranormal phenomena and so forth. But, Jeff, I have two flash messages here. Both from the UK. Russell wants to know, have you ever had occasion to meet extraterrestrials when you are in one of these travels? Hang on. Before you answer, it always is best if I have your volume on. Okay?
That would certainly help. Yes, I have. I used the Shiva neural stimulation system. Both the 16-coil and the 64-coil versions. And in both of those, I had out-of-body experiences, and in one of them, there was an entity that I physically interacted with. So yes is the answer to that question. Now, when you say extraterrestrial, that's a little difficult to quantify in that state because you are moving out of your body. And we're talking about, well, I laid in bed, I sat up in bed and turned around and looked back, and there was my body laying there in bed. And then I interacted with the entity. So when you say in your travels, I'm assuming you're saying in an either an astral projection or an out-of-body experience. And yes, with the Shiva neural stimulation system, both the 16 coil and the 64 coil version. And if you want to see what they look like, go up to the website, jeftech.net. Go to the brain mind section at the top and go down to the 64 coil, and you'll see a picture of what it looks like. So yes is the answer to your question.
All right, you say you had interaction with an extraterrestrial or with an entity. What kind of interaction are we talking about here?
You just had to do that, didn't you?
I did.
I got up, and in the astral body, I felt something rotating my feet. And I reached down. I didn't see anything, but I reached down, and I felt a body there. Now, again, I'm outside of my body in an out-of-body projection. And I felt something moving my feet, and I reached down, and I felt a body there, although I didn't see it. And it was very well-formed. It was female, and it was extremely well put together.
Okay. I won't ask for further details.
I'm really appreciating that.
Mike in the UK writes, how can you differentiate what is real and what is not?
Ah, okay. The Swedish team that filmed me this week, they asked me the same thing. They said, how do you know it's not placebo or hallucination? Well, if you are a trained remote viewer and you have done meditation techniques your whole life as I have, it's very easy to tell what's real and what is fiction or a hallucination or an alternate dimension experience and not physical reality. But let's take it one step further. If you think about this and you are able to leave your body and you go down the block and the houses are the same color, they're in the same position, you see people moving around, you can hear them talking, and it is in this timeline, all right, you know it's real. And even more so, if you're at a location and you can go back and look at a newspaper or whatever or a street sign or something, and you can see what the date is, you know where you are. And in these astral projections, you can do that. And if you go to a location where you're in a neighbor's house and their couch is a different color, you know you're not in this timeline. You're not in this reality. So you can tell easily the difference between reality and non-reality by doing moves in that particular operation you're doing. Todd Murphy, the inventor of the Shiva neural stimulation system, for those who are trying to learn the ins and outs of how the brain works, if you read his book, Sacred Pathways, I think it's up on Amazon as a Kindle book for like $10. It's ridiculous. You can study this, and you'll learn how the brain functions and what to visualize when you start tuning up the body on this. And you'll get better at realizing the difference between reality and what's just an astral travel in some other plane or dimension.
So you get into your neighbor's house and the sofa is not the right color. How do you know that's not reality but in another timeline?
Well, that's the point. If it's not this reality in this timeline, it's something else. What it is, that's up for grabs. Anybody can say it's this reality or that reality, but it's not this one that you're in this physical life.
All right, we have Jess from Australia, and Jess says, very interesting show. Jeff, you sound like Doctor Who without a TARDIS.
Well, I'll take that as a really nice compliment. I enjoy Dr. Who. That's actually cartoons for adults, and it's one of the shows I enjoy for my relaxation, and there's very little television I watch.
Very little television I watch, I can promise you. And almost every time I watch it, I find it to be an unprofitable experience. But once in a while, I run across something that's really pretty worthwhile. Jeff, when are you going to do the Sedona experiments?
I'll be doing that in the next 2 months. I've got the pictures now. I've got my 64 coil out, and I've got the software loaded on my new laptop, so I'm going to be starting those in the next week, and I should be done within a few weeks to a month and a half.
What is it that you're looking for?
I want to go inside of the location that they discuss, where the crystal chamber is, and I want to find out if there's a consciousness within, and if there is, I want to contact it. But the first thing I want to do is I want to actually try and send my consciousness there as a consciousness projection and see what I experience first, so that, and let's look at it as an introduction, just like we do in remote viewing. We first will contact whatever it is we're after to get an initial lock on the target, and then what we'll try and do in ongoing sessions is develop more and more affinity for that target, so that we can develop more information from it. So the first thing I'll do is I'll try and send my consciousness there, and I'll see what I get for impressions, and I'll document those in a logbook. And so I'll share that with you, Kevin. So if you want to track it, we can. I'm just hoping we get something good.
Okay, we are just about out of time, and I want to thank you, Jeff, for being with us. And if you will, just remain on the telephone with me, or on the line with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Harvey. I have said many times, paranormal is just stuff we don't understand yet. But as we get to where we understand it, then it just becomes normal. And that's what Jeff has been talking with us about here this evening. Tomorrow evening is our 12th year anniversary. 12 years ago, in Kosovo, in the middle of very unlikely circumstances, this show was born. It actually was born, I guess if we went to the real birthday, it would be several months ago. But 12 years ago tomorrow is when we went online with the first show. There were several months of preparation and production and things that had to happen before we could do that. But tomorrow officially is our anniversary. I hope you'll join us for our anniversary show. I think we'll have a good time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.